This is the Marketing Boss Podcast, where today's top marketing professionals reveal their best tips, tools, and strategies, and we all become better leaders because of it. And here's your host, video marketing expert, Hershel Hotton.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Boss Podcast. I'm Hershel. Thank you guys for being with me here today. It's not too often that, I get to have a guest on the show that I've actually met in person and hung out with. So I'm really excited today to have Jeff Gibbert from True Voice Media on the podcast with me today. He's going to kind of go on a rant today, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it, talking about all the things that you're doing wrong. Stop doing that, right? To give you guys a little bit of background about Jeff, pretty much short and sweet, he is the founder and president of True Voice Media. He's a social business strategist. He's a keynote speaker, blogger, podcaster, deep thinker, early adopter, geek. He loves content. All things Jeff Gibbert. He's crazy. He's has a lot of fun with what he's doing, and I'm excited to have him here today. Jeff, thanks for hanging out with me today.
What is up, Hershel? Thank you for having me on the show. I really do appreciate it. I love being on this side of the mic. It's kind of nice. You got the hard job today.
I know I do. I do. So I want to give those who are with us today really quick, just a quick shout out. Thank you guys for connecting with me online. You can find me, Hershel Hotton, on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Also, be sure to check out our private LinkedIn group. It's called the Marketing Boss Club. So that's where other marketing professionals like us can collaborate, grow together, build some relationships. So again, that's the Marketing Boss Club on LinkedIn. Come on and join the group. Now, enough said of all that stuff. Let's jump into this because I'm excited to hear your rant. All the things that we're doing wrong. first off, before we jump into that, give us a little bit of background about you, Jeff. How did you get into marketing?
So, interestingly enough, I think a lot of people would think I'm in marketing. I never really think of myself in marketing, although I do a lot in marketing. I tend to think of myself as being more of a business consultant. I just happen to know a whole bunch about social media and content. And it's interesting. That's going to actually probably be part of my rant later when we get into it. But so I actually have tried my hand at so many different businesses. But if you look at my career path, it was like I wanted to be the point guard for the Knicks. Then I wanted to be a filmmaker. Then I wanted to be a photographer that traveled around the world to take pictures of half-naked women. Early 20s. then I started a personal chef service, and then I went back to business school. Because I basically realized at that point I had no idea how to run a business at all. So I went and I got my MBA at Drexel. And when I came out, it was I was in school in the 2007 to 2008 timeline. I did a one-year MBA, super intense. And it was at that time that, you know, Twitter was becoming a thing that people talked about. Facebook was opening up to people outside of colleges. And apparently you needed to have a profile on LinkedIn. And I did a project while I was at my MBA that it was some Twitter research for a company. It was part of the program. You know, we could go out and help actual businesses. And I was like, this is really interesting. These technologies that are coming out, you know, I was big on MySpace. I was always an early adopter. I just thought, you know, this is going to be something. This is going to be something in politics. This is going to be something in media and journalism. This is going to be something in business. It's going to be something in customer service. I was like, nobody has any more knowledge about this area than anybody else right now. And I'm not one, I never wanted to be in a position where I had to pay my dues for 30 years before somebody could tell me that, you know, I was a success at what I did. So I figured we're all at the starting line right now. So I saw everybody at the starting line next to me and I said, I'm just going to run faster than everybody else. I'm going to learn as much as I can about this and I'm going to just be better at this than anybody else. And I placed all of my chips on the fact that social media was going to be important. And I'm thrilled that I did that. So that's kind of how I got into it, and how I stay in it is just probably for the sheer force of will and also my fascination with people and technology.
Awesome, man. I love that you said too, that one of your goals was to be a point guard for the Knicks. I didn't know that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I am a avid basketball fan, and I always, you know, I was just such a basketball fan as like a teenager, and I was like, I am, you know, being 5'5" is not going to stop me. I will be the Knicks point guard, and I may have a wicked crossover, but as many probably have noted by now, I am not the point guard for the Knicks.
Yeah, I think they probably picked that up. But it's cool, though. I mean, I actually played ball as well all through school. So that's pretty cool. We have that in common. That's with us.
Nice. We'll have to play together. There's a basketball court in my girlfriend's building, like not far from the office. So we'll have to get together for that and shoot around indoors. Beautiful.
Let's do it. Yeah. So I'm definitely excited about this topic because I've heard you speak on a number of occasions, and you know the content that you provide is just so valuable. So I know that the people listening are definitely in for a treat. So the title of this could be "Stop Doing That," right? I know that when it comes to a lot of business owners, whether small or large, everybody seems to be kind of doing the same stuff, and it's affecting them, right? They're not seeing the results that are possible for them. What things are they missing out from? I just want to start there and work our way backwards. What is it that is the effect of the things that they're doing wrong?
I think that the major thing that I see when I look at what people are doing wrong in social, and I guess I should clarify doing it wrong, you know, there is no right or wrong. There's just sort of like stuff that tends to work or not be annoying and stuff that seems to work and is not annoying. I think the big thing is that if you look at the cumulative effect of what people say negatively about social media, there's kind of a clustering of things that people get annoyed about. And I think those are the things that are quote unquote doing it wrong, because if everybody's getting annoyed by this particular thing, whatever these different things are, it's what's kind of ruining the platform that really has a tremendous number of opportunities. I've always looked at social media and seen it for what's good about it, more so than what's bad about it. But a lot of the things that are really terrible about social media or content marketing or the way that marketers are using these platforms I'm starting to notice them more and more, and they're starting to irritate me more and more. Because what I saw in social media when I first got involved in it was, I mean, I was super kumbaya in the beginning about it. I was, you know, social media is a democratizing force that gives everyone a voice, gives us the ability to stop asking permission, go around the gatekeepers and create our own destiny. It allows us to have a voice in the brand. It allows us to have a voice in government. It allows us to do so many incredible things. And then, you know, call it 10 years later, I'm looking back and I'm like, oh, well, we really screwed that all up. Because all of the wonderful things are still there, but they're but a fraction of what is otherwise a big, noisy, angry, automated, it's just a mess. So I think when I look at what's doing it wrong, I think it's like death by a thousand paper cuts. You know, social media could be amazing, but we keep taking a few shortcuts here and a few shortcuts there, and the overall experience for everyone just gets that much worse and that much noisier.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. It weakens the relationship.
Absolutely. You know, and part of the problem is that, you know, because we have to make this palatable for business, because otherwise these sites won't exist, they have to make money, so they have to become in some way business relevant, is that once business gets a hold of it, what's the objective of business? Well, the objective of business is profit. It's to generate top line revenue. It's to cut expenses. It's to remain profitable. And in the case of public companies, it's to remain profitable every quarter and grow consistently. And all of those things cause us to want to take those shortcuts, because if the objective is profitability, then we look for the shortest path there, the quickest path there, or whatever makes us look good to our boss. And oftentimes that's at odds with what really makes social media special. You know, when you look at what this technology represented in the course of human history, I mean, it's a groundbreaking thing that happened. And it gave us the ability to connect with people across time and geography and find our tribe around like interests and all these wonderful things. But then when you have to take that relationship and monetize it in the next 3 months, it really changes the dynamic there. And you can't think that long-term way about, hey, you know, what if I just connected with this person just because I was interested in what they talked about? I'm not looking for them to buy anything right now. I'm just looking to make a friend around a common interest. So I think that's ultimately a really, you said it right, it kind of degrades the relationship. And relationships have taken a little bit of a back seat. And instead, it's now about conversions. And you know, I'm partly guilty on this. I'm a business consultant who uses social, and my goal is to drive revenue for clients. But, you know, I think it would be nice if we didn't always have to, where we could just say, you know, the more friends that you make, the bigger your network grows, the kinder you are to your people, the kinder you are to your customers, the better you're going to fare. But there's no strong, hard data to back that, especially in a short-term objective.
Yeah, I remember somebody asking the question. They said, well, what's the return on investment of your mother? It's like,
yeah, I think it was like, Gary Vee that said that. Gary Vee said something like that.
It's it makes a lot of sense. And I think that that kind of really delves into what people are doing wrong with social. Social is about being social, not selling. I've heard another person say that before. So let's jump in. Like, what are some of the things that people are doing wrong? Like, what's one of the biggest areas you see?
So this is just a personal thing. This is a total personal pet peeve. I'm going to give you two of them because they're somewhat related. So anybody that does know me would know that my favorite social network, my favorite thing on the entire internet is Twitter. I love Twitter. I am a Twitterer. That's my thing. So that said, I am generally going to be more, I guess, critical or involved or thoughtful about what happens on Twitter. And there are two things that happen on Twitter that drive me absolutely insane. And they, if I let it, could send me into a fit of rage. It is the auto DM welcome message. So you follow someone and automatically they DM you something. And then oftentimes those very same type of people will have something turned on called True Twit. So True Twit is just it's like probably the worst thing on the internet short of Donald Trump's tweets, in my opinion. True Twit is just pure garbage. It's this idea that so I follow you. You have True Twit turned on, let's say. I click to follow you because I think what you're doing is interesting. I click follow and it sends me an automatic message that says, hey, prove to me that you're not a spammer. Click over to this site and validate yourself with True Twit. I mean, I'm like, people, it's Twitter. Knock it off. You're not that important that you need me to validate that I'm not spam. Does it really hurt you if you did have a few spammers following you? Knock that off. So so the True Twit is just, that's just pure garbage, and I wish that I could vaporize that company. So that's the first thing. But the auto DM being just right there with it, and that's not just on Twitter, it's now starting to take hold on Instagram as well, where as soon as you follow someone, they send you an automatic DM that says something like, hey, great to meet you. I talk about all these things. Download my free ebook. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Follow me on Facebook as well. You should really check me out on Snapchat and this and that and the other thing. And it's like, we may have just met, but you are making the worst first impression anybody on earth could possibly make in this scenario. You are just ruining the easing. You're like a teenage boy that's like, hi, can we go out for pizza and then maybe sleep together? You're just rushing into it too much. So it annoys the crap out of me. So the first and foremost thing is that if you're a business and you have True Twit turned on, please turn it off, because any serious actual marketer, maybe an influencer you might want to talk to, is not going to take you seriously. They're going to think you're a fool. So True Twit, turn off. The auto DM, just stop it. I don't know of the thousands upon thousands of potentially hundreds of thousands of auto DMs I've gotten in my life. I can't imagine more than a half of a percent of them have ever converted anything with an auto DM. It is just purely spam. So that would be my first thing. Stop doing that.
Gotcha. Yeah. I typically don't even respond to those, you know, to those DMs that come through on Twitter after you follow somebody. And it's kind of like, if this is not working, why are you continuing to do it? I guess it's one of the things that comes back as a question. It's like, okay, if this is not an effective way of building relationships, why keep doing it?
Yeah, no, I completely, that's my whole thing. That's probably of all of the things, even though it's the least consequential, like the auto DM, it's not going to change my life one way or another. I'll just ignore it, right? Just like you did. Mm-hmm. The True Twit thing, I just go ahead and unfollow that person because I think they're idiots. It's inconsequential, but it's probably the thing that annoys me the most and sends me into the biggest fit of rage.
Understood completely. I know that when it comes to Twitter, anyway, like, so let me ask you this. We should not, of course, do this, you know, auto DM those tools that are out there. What do you recommend then in terms of Twitter? Like, what do you recommend then as the remedy to that problem? Of course, you just mentioned, let's turn this stuff off. Don't do that. Stop doing that. What would you recommend that they do instead? Like, what is one tip that they can use to build better relationships or to do the right thing on Twitter?
Yeah. So if people want to do the right thing, trademark Spike Lee, if they want to do the right thing on Twitter, I have often referred to it as the Zen of social media, which is that you know, people will look at how much content I put out, or they'll look at how I use Twitter or Facebook, and they ask me all these questions about my strategy. And the truth of the matter is, the strategy that I've kind of come to in my own social media, my own Twittering, is that I don't really think about it. I don't really think about Twitter. I don't overemphasize. It's not a tactic. Twitter is a tool that I use to communicate with people. So I guess what I'm getting at is that my advice to people in using Twitter, and don't use the auto DM, don't use the true tweet. If somebody follows you, look at their account. And if they seem interesting, say hello to them. Like, actually, don't automate it. Just say hello to them. Because that's another thing you'll see outside of the auto DM on Twitter. You'll see people that automate like a mention, and they'll ask the same like six questions. And then if you go to their stream, you'll see that they've asked everybody those six questions, and it immediately signals to you, you actually don't care about that. You just are automating it so it seems like you're engaging. And I think that that's ultimately what it comes down to, is it's about automating engagement. Don't do that. Instead, actually reach out to someone and try to, I don't know, care. Like, actually talk to them and say like, hey, I think what you write is interesting. What do you do? Have a conversation with them like you would if they were a person in the bar. You know, you wouldn't just automatically, you know, send out napkins with your name on it and put it in front of them at the bar. You'd walk up to them and say hello. So I think we get lost behind our keyboards and our smartphones and forget that social media is just a tool in which to be social. So I would suggest that the what's really leading this is a mindset of, well, I can reach so many people with social, and they forget to reach one person with social. So they wind up reaching no people with social because their entire approach is not, in fact, social. So I'd advise them to actually take each relationship, each opportunity as a one-to-one, and try to just go at that until you can't scale it any further.
Absolutely. And it makes me think, too, of LinkedIn. You know, you get the connection request that's very general, when it could be more customized and more personalized to the person you're trying to connect with.
100%.
That's one thing that we've done, and that helps with building relationships and getting the conversation started right from there. So I think that that's a really, really great suggestion and tip that everyone that's listening can stop doing and start doing the right thing.
To your point about LinkedIn, that's partly a function of how LinkedIn has operated. They're getting better. I think the new design, they actually ask you to provide a reason or at least prompt you to. But a lot of them, it would just send a connection request, hey, I'd like to connect with you. But I always advise, if you're going to send a connection request, especially somebody you don't know like personally, customize it. Like, if I send you a LinkedIn connection request, you'd be like, oh, that's Jeff, and you'd click OK. But if we didn't know each other, you'd be like, who are you? Why do I care about connecting with you, et cetera? So, you know, I would suggest doing something personalized there.
Absolutely. What else do you suggest that people stop doing?
Okay, so another thing that... So we've covered the auto DM, basically automating engagement. Stop doing that. The next thing I would say that I think people should really consider is why they keep chasing bright, shiny objects. Like, it doesn't work for them. It almost never works for them to chase the bright, shiny object. They're usually... For instance, Snapchat. Snapchat is one of those things that like people will not stop talking about, and yet most people are absolutely awful at. And if you look at the way most people use Snapchat, they're not paying attention to businesses. They're talking to each other with silly filters. It's not a business play. And I think the problem a lot of businesses are having is that they will see something like Snapchat and say, well, everybody's there, let's go advertise there. And the reason why audiences keep fragmenting is because people keep showing up to advertise. So they go somewhere where the advertisers aren't. This has been going on since the beginning of time in advertising, is that as soon as there was an opportunity to go somewhere without ads, people go there. So I think the whole bright, shiny object thing is that people, before they're even good at using the tool they have, they hear about a new thing coming out and they think, oh, well, I'll just jump on that and maybe that'll be the silver bullet. Maybe that'll work immediately. And the truth of the matter is, and I think every business that has achieved any measure of success on social media realizes, is that these things take time. And that means that it's not a bright, shiny object chasing contest about who can get to the new platform first. You know, I'm thinking about all the businesses that, you know, went all in on Peach as soon as that came out, and does anybody listening even know what Peach is anymore? Or the people who are like, yeah, Slinger is going to be huge because of vertical video. Well, who's using Slinger now? So people keep chasing these bright, shiny objects. And what I would suggest is, even in the case of something like a Snapchat, where it's obviously become one of the major platforms and one of the major players, is that it's not so much about getting there first and going all in on it, but instead trying to figure it out as everybody else is. What does this thing do? What is it used for? Roll with the punches. Stop trying to win at it from day one, and instead be like everybody else and figure out how it's used, and be a human being on it. So chasing bright, shiny objects and new tools and case studies, or trying to be the next Oreo dunk in the dark, or the next ice bucket challenge, you know, stop looking at the things that get all the attention and think, you know, I can do that too, or I'm going to use that thing, and instead be slow and methodical about it and look to the long term.
Awesome. Because I know that some businesses, it benefits them really well to focus in just on getting a couple of platforms done right and then kind of branching out from there. Do you recommend that approach as well?
Yeah, I'm always about quality over quantity. I would rather that my clients have 100 followers that love everything that they post than 10 million followers, of which only like a half a percent is interested in anything. So I think it's always quality over quantity. I think in terms of doing, I'd rather their client is just amazing at Facebook than mediocre at everything, because they've diverted their resources into 10 different platforms where people are only half paying attention anyway. So I think it's about doing something and doing it well. I mean, like if you look at someone like PewDiePie, right, like the biggest YouTube star there is. Now he's under some controversy right now for the way he does things. But, you know, that dude is huge on YouTube, and the other things grew as kind of a result of it, whatever else he's using. But most people know him from YouTube. If you look at someone like Gary Vaynerchuk, like, you know, he started it, his whole thing on YouTube with Wine Library TV, and he used Twitter to engage and find people. And now he's everywhere, but he didn't start everywhere, and he tries things and he tests them out, but you never see him, you know, all in on something like, what was that one that was all audio? I forget the name of it. It was like audio for Twitter. Anchor. You remember Anchor? Yeah. So like he was testing it out. He was trying it. He's always watching things. And, you know, I don't know, you know, we brought Gary up a few times now, but I think he's a good example there, because, you know, he's very notable in the industry, but he's not all in on everything from day one.
Right, right. That's such a good point. The other thing that just came to mind, just to piggyback on something you mentioned, is like paying attention also to how we, like as individuals, as business owners, how, like the type of brands that we connect to, or that we really enjoy, or that we even decide to break open our wallets and pay for, right? Whether it's a service or a consultation, a program, or whatever. I think it's important too that we actually notice, like, how did I get into this funnel, you know, and pay attention to what stood out to you, and then, you know, either duplicating or just making notes of that and noticing how you're being, you know, attracted to certain brands and what it is that's standing out to you to build relationships with these people.
Absolutely, 100%. Learn from everywhere. You know, one of the, there's a guy that I follow named Brian Harris. He's the owner, CEO, or whatever, of Video Fruit. And he, you know, sends out emails and everything. One of the things that he put out recently I thought was brilliant was kind of to your point. He said, if you're a Gmail user, go into Gmail, and he did like a particular search term. I think it was like is red. And then he just went through all of his red emails, anything that he opened, and he looked at all the headlines for like the last, like, you know, 100 or 300 of them, and took note of all the ones that he opened, any marketing email that he opened that had headlines, like, those are headlines that I would consider now. So same sort of thing. Look at what's worked on you, if especially if you are similar to who your audience is, and learn from that. If you wind up in a funnel, figure out how you got there. What got you in there? What worked? And I, to your point, always be learning from it. But to the point I was making is, you know, don't go all in on anything. Just try things and take a long view of it.
Absolutely. So as we start to wrap up here, I want to get one more thing that you think people should definitely stop doing, and then I'll let you get going to the rest of your day. Same here. But cool, but yeah, let's tell me what's another thing people should definitely stop doing.
Oh, there's so many. I just have to pick one. So this one's the near and dear to my heart. I guess the near and dear to my heart is that I believe social media is more than marketing. And I've believed that since day one. You know, the first job I had out of my MBA, I was at a management consulting firm, and I was trying to build a social media strategy for the entire organization where we had a consistent presence, where we used it in our recruiting. I hacked SharePoint at the time to create a system of tags, which they didn't have at the time, to create an internal knowledge base that was social in the sense that, you know, we could all contribute to it. We could all organize it. You know, we could all collaborate and use it together. I've believed in the power of social business and social as more of an idea than a marketing technology since the beginning. And I think that it's still there. I think that we still have an opportunity. If you look at the popularity of something like Slack, Slack is an internal social network. You know, you have different channels where you can, you know, post plans of what you're all doing on the weekend. You can talk about happy hours or who's getting coffee. You can have client related things. You can have things where you share information about internal projects. You have direct messaging. That's an internal social thing, and nobody talks about that as social. They talk about something else. Recruiting, you know, how often do recruiters just throw together a job description, throw it up on a job board, and go through stacks of Times New Roman 12-point type resumes instead of thinking of it like marketing a position, talking about the culture of the organization and maybe creating a video about what it's like to work at this organization and targeting people that might be the right type of applicant with social ads and actually marketing an internal position. That's social recruiting. Or how many people think about their sales process as a social process? You know, how many people are just picking up the phone and cold calling? And whoever they are, they probably aren't super successful. But, you know, social media, the ability to look at what other people are saying online, you find your target prospect and you look at what they're talking about on LinkedIn. You look at what they're talking about on Twitter or on Facebook. You look at who they're connected to and find a way in. You figure out a way to use social content sites to host resources that might move them through the sales funnel. That's social selling. So when I look at social, I think of it as a series of tools and processes and that they can be applied across the entire business. And I think what a lot of businesses are making the mistake of doing is that they are only seeing it as a marketing channel. And to go even deeper, they don't even see it as a marketing channel. They see it as an advertising channel. They see it as nothing more than a way to push unremarkable crap in front of an audience, and then they complain that they don't get any results. I think that if they were to take a longer term approach and they were to think about it more holistically about how to actually rebuild their business in the world that it exists today, they would have a tremendous amount more success and they'd be able to impact their business at a multitude of different levels. So if I were to say, what's the final thing to stop doing that? Stop just using social for marketing / advertising and start thinking more holistically about your business.
Man, I love it. This is, and it's funny, you and I talk all the time. I mean, this is stuff that we can definitely implement ourselves and to always check back in to make sure that we within our businesses are doing this, you know what I mean? And doing these sorts of things. Man, thank you for being here with me today. This has been awesome, of course. And I definitely want the listeners to also check out Jeff's new podcast coming out. Jeff, could you share a little bit about that to the audience?
Absolutely. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it because we are about to launch it. I'm actually, after this, we're about to hop on our own podcast for an interview. It's called Shareable, and it's our brand new podcast, and it is about the impact that people and technology have on our lives and careers. I am fascinated by how people can change the entire direction of your life. That mentor that said something to you that has stuck with you forever, the person who inspired you to think differently about what a career could mean or about what your life could mean, I think that's fascinating. And I also am fascinated that we are all, regardless of whether we want to or not, impacted by technology. So we built a podcast entirely around this idea of figuring out from high performers specifically, what are the people stories that they have about how their lives changed as a result of some advice or some mentorship? And then how have technologies enabled them to do things that they otherwise previously couldn't have done? And the hope is to inspire people as they listen to it to either mentor and help others and realize that what they do makes a difference and that it can actually change somebody's life. And then to also see that the technologies that are available to us, they're available to all of us and give us opportunities that we never had before. So that's the bent of the show. The website address for it is shareablepodcast.com. It'll be live on iTunes on Monday, this coming Monday, which I don't know when this airs, but it'll probably be live by whenever it does air. And please check it out, whoever's listening. We have a lineup of guests that is like, I can't even believe the lineup of guests that we're getting so far. It's sort of like something happened, the floodgates opened, and we are getting just some of the most tremendous people to come on this show and talk about things. So definitely check it out. The only other thing I'll say about it is that we are also going to be doing some deep dive episodes. So it is an interview-based show, but we're also going to have some deep dive days where my producer and I are going to sit down and we're actually going to dive deep into a piece of technology or a story about people. And we're really going to look at like the importance of mentors. We're going to look at how Twitter can change your life and really dig deep into a lot of these topics. So I hope everybody listens and check it out.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm all in for that. That's going to be really exciting to check out. So thank you. Thanks, Jeff, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you, hanging out with you. It's always fun. Where can people find you too? Let's wrap up there. And any last words of advice you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. The best place to find me, I'm super easy to find online. Even though there is one other Gibbard out in the world with the first name that starts with a J, I kind of own the space. So if you look for Jeff Gibbard or Jay Gibbard or anything Gibbard, G-I-B-B-A-R-D, you'll find me. My website is jeffgibbard.com. That's my kind of homepage of me as a blogger, a speaker, a strategist, all that. And then the company is True Voice Media. And we are a social media and content marketing agency in Philadelphia, and we're really, really good at what we do.
Yes, they are. Well, Jeff, thanks again for hanging out with me today. This has been great.
Thanks for having me, Parshall. Always a pleasure.
Well, man, I'll see you around.
See ya.
Well, you guys, that does it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember, a good boss is a good leader. Go out there, serve your gift to the world, because you're the boss. Take care, you guys. Peace.
Thanks so much for listening to the Marketing Boss Podcast with your host, video marketing expert, Parshall Houghton. We'll catch you next time.